program, and you begin to think about this, and I've been when I was up in Seattle, we went through the Boeing Space or Air Museum, whatever it is, and we've got a two-scale size of the space shuttles that we used to have. You can walk through them and you can see those things. It's flat out amazing. The first plane I ever flew on was a Boeing 747 by Pan Am, which is not even around anymore. And you're walking through that thing and there's hundreds of people on this thing. It's hundreds of thousands of pounds in weight, and it lifts off the ground and flies for hours and hours. It's just mind-boggling that we can figure that kind of stuff out. But yet it's so minuscule to what our God is.
Right.
Man sends these satellites, and from where I was just last week, my son and I went and climbed Mount Whitney, and laying out there 10,300 feet up in elevation and watching as the sky got dark and the constellations just set out from all the other stars. It was so much more brighter than that. And the next thing you know, you've seen the Milky Way coming along on the right-hand side. And as I woke up, fell asleep through the night, and then the constellations faded out. It's just nothing but stars, and the Milky Way started spreading across. It just, and then you sit there and you can see an airplane go through every now and then, a little light going through there. There's billions and billions and billions and trillions or whatever, however many of these lights of stars is out there. And then here's a little bit of airplane goes through there. And then you can actually see satellites every now and then, the right light, you can see them going across the sky. And there's this little tiny, tiny light that's out there. And it's amazing. You think, oh man, that's cool. They can send this telescope way out there. But yet here, God's standing around with all of these stars, all of these constellations, and these suns and moons and Milky Ways and everything else. And here we got this little bitty plane going by. And we think, oh man, we're so smart, we're so amazing. And he's like, okay, whatever. This down looking at us, it makes you feel so insignificant. You're so smart. We put this thing way up there in the sky. It's just, wow, we've done something great. And the Lord's like, oh, okay, you know, I've got a couple more billion stars over here you haven't even seen. And I've got this over here you've not even, yeah. It just boggles the mind. Yeah. Psalm said in 8:3-4, it said there, when I consider thy heavens, and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man? I've said this now a couple times. That thou art mindful of him. It's amazing. And then Psalms 144, it says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? David just couldn't find the words, and he found himself writing the same thing over and over again. What is man? Who are we? Now, Hebrews, and Apostle Paul writing there, he says, Hebrews 2:6, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Job wrote about it. David wrote about it, and Apostle Paul, he wrote about it, and neither one of those three could explain why or how this God was mindful of you and I. They had no words to explain it. How can a God that made everything be concerned with us mere humans such as you and I? How does this God come and even have any time to deal with you and I? Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depths of the riches, both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God? Or who hath been his counselor? When you begin to think about it, and you begin to think about who we are, what we are, and that there's a God that's created so much, but yet he is mindful of you and I. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows how many hairs are or are not on top of your head. He knows how many teeth are or are not in your mouth. He knows you are who you are from the top to the bottom. He knows where you are, what you're going through. He's mindful of you.
Yes.
Isaiah 7:49-13. He says,
sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. And then God comes right back to Zion and says, hey, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have engraving thee in the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. John 3:16 is written like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the God that I serve. God that knows everything, that's been everywhere, and done everything, but yet he knows who I am. How do you put it into words? How do you explain it? The quick answer is you don't. You can't explain it. Man has tried in their own ways to try to explain how we got here, how everything was formed. They group up into the groups, this scientist groups, you're the anthropology group, and you are the environmental group, and you are the atmospheric group, and you're this, and everybody gets together and puts their brains supposedly together and tries to explain it. But all they can come back up with is theories. This is the theory. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and they was wanting to know how I could be so sure that what I believed is true. How do you be so sure? Do you believe in gravity? And I said, I sure do. He says, well, that's just a theory. I says, well, maybe the way you describe it and try to explain it is gravity is a theory, but you try to jump up there, I'm trying to tell my friend, you're going to come right back down. Whatever you want to call it, it still exists, right? So you can call my God whatever you want to. You can call my salvation whatever you want to. You can say it's a theory. You can say it don't exist. You say it don't believe. You don't believe it. But I'm here to tell you that you've come too late to explain that all to me. I know what it was like when I come to an altar, a sinner. I know what it was like when I come to the house of God and I was a rotten, bad person. I know what it was like when I bowed my knee at an altar and I asked a loving God to forgive me of my sins. I know what it felt like when he took them away. I know what it's like when I was buried in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ. I know what it felt like when he washed all that away and I became a new creature. I know what it was like when I began to speak in another tongue, began to speak in that heavenly language, and the Lord moved inside of my heart and began to live right here. I know what it felt like. I know what it was all about. Call it a theory if you want to. Call it a cult if you want to. Call it whatever you want to. But you've come too late to explain it to me. I know what God feels like. Yes. They tried to explain God away. And there's a story that goes about this little boy was flying a kite. You ever heard that story before? This boy was flying a kite. Flying for hours. And it got dark. Right before it got dark, the clouds began to roll in. Wind was still picking up, and the little boy was still standing out in the back, flying his kite. His dad came out there and said, son, what are you doing? He said, Dad, I'm flying my kite. How do you know you're flying a kite? I don't see no kite, son. Look, it's dark. You can't, there's no kite up there. How do you know you're flying a kite? He goes, Dad, I can feel it tugging. At the other end. Right. There's something about it. People come in, they can't see our God. They can't see the reason why we scream and shout and run and jump. They can't see that. They don't understand it, but we can feel them tugging on the other end.
A sentence that I like, I diagram it. I like the diagram. What does this mean? how does this mean? I liked it. I'm sorry. This is what some people do and some people don't. There's something about it, but I can't find any words. There's a song that I sang. You can't find the words to explain how good our God is. I can't find the words to explain what it was like. I know what it was. I was 11 years old, February the 7th, 1983, in Woodville, California. And I dare say there's nobody in here other than my wife and I has ever been to Woodville, California. If you go there, you're lost. A little bitty small town. There's up to 1,700 people in there now. And it only depends when the immigration vans come through or not, because the farming community, it fluctuates quite a bit. But I'm gonna go, went inside that little bitty church at 16815 Avenue 168 in Woodville, California, in Tulare County. And over there, I went inside that office, that church service that one day, it was on Tuesday, and I began to walk in a circular motion just like this around the church. And I began to pray and began to talk to God. I was 11 years old. Walking around, I was a liar. I was no good person. I was headed on my way to a bad place. But I began to walk around that place, and I began to lift up my hands, and something happened that day, and I began to cry more than normal. And I began to say these words after I asked God to forgive me of my sins. I asked Him to forgive me of my sins, and I began to say, God, You're so good. And that's all I could say is, God, You're so good. God, You're so good. God, You're so good. Walking around the church, it was set up just like this, three sections like this. And when I got to right here at the end of the park, and I had my hands raised, they'd already started church, and I was still saying, God, You're so good. And He began to fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I began to cry out to Him. When I come to myself, I'm feeling such a great feeling. I was laid out on a bench. They done picked me up and stuck me up there on a bench. And I was still talking to the Lord and His goodness and His about Him. It was wonderful. It changed the life of who I was and what I was. It made everything different.
Yes.
The next day, I got up, and I may have told you this year before, please forgive me. I got up and I jumped out of bed, and oh, this is the first day that I've got up since I got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I wasn't 11 years no more. I started all over again just that night before. It's wonderful. Yeah. It's the first time I've got dressed since I got the Holy Ghost. Man, it was exciting. I was just bouncing around there. The next day happened to be my birthday. And I was didn't even concerned about that. But I was just like, man, this is wonderful. My aunt came up to visit it, and she brought me some shoes. She was really good at shopping at all the Goodwill stores. And she brought me some shoes. And they were the most hideous, ugly-looking shoes I remember now. Rust red, kind of a, not a corduroy, that kind of a, like a suede looking shoe. It was ugly. Thing on there, but I put those on, they fit so good, and oh, this is the first time I put these shoes on since I got the Holy Ghost. And I was so excited. And my mom sent us over to the store. And my cousin, my sister, and I, we was walking across the store, and oh, this is the first time I went to the store since I got the Holy Ghost. And we were walking across the street and just skipping along excited. We went to the store and coming back, and I began to run. And whoa, this is the first time I've ran since I got the Holy Ghost. And I tripped and fell. And my sister says, it's the first time you've fallen since you got the Holy Ghost. I jumped up, but you know what? I didn't leak out the Holy Ghost. The Lord was still there with me. And I've fallen many, 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 many times since then. And I've come back to this God that created everything. Said, God, I'm the sinner still, and I want to be with You still. And God, forgive me. What God did for you after you get the Holy Ghost? It's a journey that only you can take. It's a journey that only you will experience. And it is the best journey.
Amen.
It's the best journey. Amen. All along talks about, it's nearly 50 years since he got the Holy Ghost. My dad is like 56 years ago when he got the Holy Ghost. My mom over 50 years since she's been baptized and received the Holy Ghost. And something about it. My brother and my sister decided to go their way and do their own thing. And I see them and they're not happy. They buy this and they buy that. And they go here and they go there, and they walked away from the best thing ever.
That's
and I know I'm not perfect. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You don't even have to talk to my wife. to find out that I'm not perfect and I don't do all things right. I don't tell you that, I can admit that myself. But there's something about it. I don't want to go out there.
That's right.
I've never drank alcohol in my life, and I'm thankful for that. I seen what it did to my friends when they come driving their cars in my backyard and barely could to get around and trying to offer me stuff to drink. And here, it's just an orange cooler. It's just a California orange cooler, but there was a lot of stuff in there that shouldn't have been in there.
Right.
He was trying to get some, and I seen what an effect it did to him. I seen when Sean left Woodville and he went out with his friends and they was going way too fast and they was drinking, and I went by and I looked at the telephone pole. They wrapped their car around. Sean come back all broken up and his friend died. That was enough for me. I don't want that kind of life.
Right.
I seen what it was like when I went up and visited my sister. I was 14 years old when she got married, and I went up there to her house, and I seen and heard and experienced the screaming, the cussing, the argument, the yelling, the spaghetti getting thrown against the wall and on the carpet and everything. And I seen, I said, you know what? When I get married, I never want to treat my wife like that. I don't want that kind of relationship in my life. And I began to check off things that I didn't want in my life.
Right.
I seen what the effects of drugs did to people. And I seen how it was. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call from my best friend. He was a pastor's son down in Bakersfield, California. And he called scared. You can hear him shaking on the phone. He got some speed or something like that. And he was decided to drink with it too. And he was having hallucinations. And he was just scared out of his mind. Oh, God, help me. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? That was enough for me. I don't want to experience that. If somebody that I love so much, he can't handle that. I know I can't handle that. And I've been blessed to say, never had drugs before, never drank before, never smoked before, never involved those things. I was lost like everybody else and going to hell. But there was a mindful God that said, you know, son, you probably wouldn't make it back. I'm not going to let you go out there. I'm going to keep you from all that. I'm here to say today, you may not have that same testimony. But I'm a testimony that God can keep you once you come away from that. You don't have to go back to that. I've seen it. Now I've seen this man named Jack. This is the last one I'll tell you, and I'll let you go. Jack come to church about 6 months ago, Mom. We have a ministry that goes into a halfway house, and we bring brothers in, or men in. We've seen God do some wonderful things. Jack come in, and Jack said, we have an aisle down the center of our church, and there's two rows. On the right-hand side of the aisle, kind of the inside there. And when you saw him, you did a double take like that. And you just couldn't believe your eyes, what you're seeing. Jack's whole face is tattooed. His neck, his ears, his top of his head, everything about Jack. It's hideous and grotesque looking, this man. He come in, and he sat, right, like I said, right over here. And we began to have church. And I seen tears come across all those tattoos. And then I seen Jack get up at the end of service and come right down to the front and begin to pray and talk to God. And I seen brothers going over there and putting their arms around him, hugging on him, loving on him, telling him how good God is. I seen the effects that it did to that man. When he left, I was down there in front, and I had two children with us. We had two foster boys at the time, 2 5-year-old boys. And because I was talking to Jack, it was okay. And those guys aren't afraid of anything. If you're around with them, it's amazing the trust their kid has. And they went running up to Jack and just began to talk to him, and there was nothing on his face to them. He was just a guy that was talking. They was telling him about stuff about their lives. And I seen the effect that it had on Jack. Amazing. Jack messed up and Jack went back to jail. Brothers have been visiting Jack, and Jack told us, you know what, there's something about that church. And he told him how old he was. He's an older gentleman, and how many places he's going, he's judged by what he's done to himself. You see, not everybody wears their sins all tattooed on their face. Not everybody can't. He goes everywhere they go. They're not showing everything to everybody else.
Right.
There's a lot of scars, and there's a lot of messed up. The stuff that's hidden behind our beautiful clothes that we're wearing today.
Yes,
that's hidden there. The people can't see. And there's a messed up lies that God, the devil has made sure that he can try to destroy as many people as possible.
That's right.
Not everybody wears their sins like Jack. But I'm going to tell you something. There, everybody can come in contact with the same Jack, God, that Jack come in contact when he realized, I come in and I'm a sinner and I'm a bad person, I'm whatever. And God says, you know what? I'm not concerned about that either. I'm not concerned about it all. I died for you. I went to the cross. I let them beat my back for you. I wore a crown of thorns for you. I let them despise me, spit on me, hit me. I let them do all they did to me because I wanted you to be saved. There's a world of hurting people out there that need to hear about this mindful God that you and I serve. It's up to you and I to share it with him. Do you love the Lord today? Why don't you stand? Let's lift our hands. Let's talk to the Lord. If you want to come up front and pray, altars are always open at an apostolic church. I invite you to talk to God. There's a mindful God here today that loves everyone, that wants to touch everyone, that's willing to open their heart to him. Listen, come on, lift your voice. Let's talk to God for a moment. God, you're so good, Jesus. Wonderful Savior, so good. We're thankful to you, God, mindful God, that you love us so much. While man thinks they're so intelligent and smart and explain whatever they want to, God, they can't explain your love. Why that you would love us when you've done all that you've done already, God. Man can't explain your love to us, God. We've experienced it. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to touch the hungry one today. I pray that you touch the one that's empty today. Those that's come searching and looking for you today, God, we have touch. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your words will never pass away. Lord, you told us that. You said that you gave your only begotten Son so that everybody can be saved. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you touch the hearts of everyone today, God. God, not everybody wears their sins like Jack. But God, those things that we have inside of our heart, inside of our mind, God, we bring them to you. We give them to you because, Lord, we want you to touch us once again. Forgive us, God, of our sins. Forgive us, God, of our ways that's contrary to you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of who we are and what we've been, Jesus. We want you, Lord, to live inside of us. God, like you lived inside, moved inside of me when I was so young. Lord, your power has not changed. Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, if you've done it in 1983, you can do it in 2017. God, you can touch a heart today. God, you're not a respecter of persons. You're not mindful of a person's degree or place in life, God. You love us. God, we can touch our people today. As we call out on you, Lord, a mindful God that loves us unconditionally. Oh, God, that's willing to give us your best when you took our worst. It's willing, God, to give us your best when we don't deserve it. God, he's so good to us. Come on, call out to him today. Come on, call out to God today. How great is our God? Think about it. Let the Lord touch you. Let the Lord touch you today. Let him renew you today. Let him speak to your heart all over again. He's a good God. He may have come to this place down, but he came to pick you up. He may come to this place broken,